So the gospel today, of course, is the Shema. It's the great command that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has given us. The Shema is the combination of Leviticus and Deuteronomy. The Jews had these two great commands, and they did not, as our Lord did, pull them together into the one command, the great command. But the Shema is what you see on those phylacteries when you see an Orthodox Jewish person when they go to a temple or to a synagogue or to a place of worship. They wear a little pouch right on their forehead and on their forearm. And so the Shema is written right on their forehead, so that every thought that they have comes out of that great command to love the Lord your God. So it's filtered through that command that's placed in a little piece of parchment on their forehead. And then on their forearm, you'll see strapped around the forearm another piece of parchment. And on that, or in that, contains the second command, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. So for the Jew, they have this wonderful reminder of the great command that we just read today, to love your God, to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so the wonderful command is given to us in these words, carried by the Orthodox Jew on their forehead and on their forearm, as a reminder that every thought, every action filters out of that great command given to us. The combination of Deuteronomy and Leviticus brought together, the dog always gets excited when I preach, brought together in this one great word given to us today. But what we don't see is that there were really 600 commands. So when the Pharisees, having shelved the Sadducees with his remarks, now they come at him, they saw 600 laws. And so they're testing him. They're looking to trap him. How are you going to take one out of 600 laws and say, this is the great command? And yet, that's the response of our blessed Lord on this day. I was thinking about that a lot, of course, during the week, because I try to mull over whatever the gospel is for next Sunday. And so, you know, I meet along the way sometimes some very cranky people. Have you ever met a cranky person as you move through the week? Well, I won't tell you this story. I was buying a little coffee, and I don't want to denigrate the name of that great coffee person, but I went in there, and this person, she just had this face like the wrath of God. And I mean, it was really just like this looking at you. So I looked up at her, and of course, I've got this in my head. So I said, how are you today? She said, I'm okay. And I said, oh, yeah, it must be a tough day for you. I can imagine how difficult today is. And I know that you're out here, and it's in a kind of remote area of our city, and I can imagine that that's not an easy thing. So I just chatted for a few minutes, and she began to kind of warm up a little bit. And I got the coffee, and then I said to myself, you know, I'm gonna make her day. So I did it, I think, not out of charity. I almost did it out of spite because she was so miserable. I gave her a $3 tip. I never get $3 for a cup of coffee. But I wanted to just, you know. And she said, whoa, she said, well, thank you. And she had this big smile on her face when it was all over. But you know something? That isn't what bothered me. What bothered me was why I did it. You see, I didn't do it out of love. I thought about to love your God and to love your neighbor, but I did it almost to spite her, just to poke at her, because she was such a miserable creature. And I wanted to, you know, let her know that I'm not going to let her get to me, you know. So I fell on this. John Shea, of course, is the great person. And he tells this story, and I'd like you to hear this for just a moment. I've got really two stories for you, but I'm going to be brief because we have another instruction today. Here's the first story. One day, a certain man hurriedly headed out the door for work. In his path, with his 3-year-old son playing with blocks, The man patted the boy on the head, stepped right over him, opened the door, and went outside. Halfway down the walk, a guilt bomb exploded within him. What am I doing? He thought. I'm ignoring my son. I never play with him. He'll be old before I know it. In the background of his thoughts, he heard the pounding rhythms of Cats in the Cradle, Harry Chapin's ballad to lost fatherhood. He returned to the house, sat down with his son, and began to build blocks. After 2 minutes, his little son looked up at him and said, "Daddy, why are you mad at me?" You see, what our Lord, I think, is saying today is that while there are hundreds and hundreds of commands, the issue isn't the observance, because we observe laws for all kinds of reasons. In this instance, his father was observing a law out of guilt, not love. And so he read it as being mad, because whatever energy he exuded was not the energy of love. It was the energy of guilt. And so the great command that is given to us, my sisters and brothers, is the command to love. And yes, once in a while, if we love, we may skip a law or two. But what we say and what we do is not born out of anything except open hearts, open minds. If I had given that woman a dollar in love, it would have been a far greater gift than the $3 I gave her out of spite. But that's what we have to look at, I think, in our relationships of love. And so my final story. Could you hold that for a second? Listen to this. This just took me by storm this week, and I've told it a few times. Rachel Beckwith, true story, young girl. At 5 years of age, she heard about a thing called locks of love, where young girls cut their hair and give it to people, children, who are going through great struggles of life, whether it's cancer or chemotherapy, something that they need a wig, that they need hair. So she donated at 5 years of age her locks out of love for those children. But she made a promise to her parents she would do that again. At the age of 8 years of age, she made a decision that on her 9th birthday in Bellevue, Washington, she would invite and have her parents invite no one to her birthday. True story. On this birthday, on her website, she posted that she wanted those who would come to her birthday instead, on her 9th birthday, to give $9. And she would take that $9, collect it, and give it to an organization that was being touted in her church called Water. It was wells for people in Africa who do not, especially children, who do not have fresh water and die of the diseases that we have no understanding and appreciation of. She had in her mind $300 as a 9-year-old on her ninth birthday. She wanted $300. She got $220. She was a little sad, but she said, "It's okay. At least it's $220 that I can give." 1 month later, June the 20th of this year, that little girl was in her car with her family, and a truck came and had a horrific accident on that interstate highway. All of her family got out of it safely, except Rachel. And Rachel was in critical condition in a hospital. And when the church and the school and the people of the community saw that, they went back to her website and they saw this plea for her 9th birthday. And before she died, 3 days later, they had raised $50,000. Not $220,000, $50,000 for wells in Africa, for fresh water for children who had nothing to drink. And on her death, and the months that have followed, that little girl, Rachel, at 9 years of age, has raised $1 million for the people of Africa, for those children. So wells could be dug, fresh water could be given, and life would be had. My sisters and brothers, that command is not some pie in the sky. That command is not just some statement from Leviticus and Deuteronomy from some ancient person. It's for us. That command is a command to live our lives in love. What have you done? What have I done? What am I waiting for? A 9-year-old girl has done more for this world than I could ever, ever imagine doing. And that's the question. The question is, what have you and I done to make some small, little difference in this world? And to do it with love. We are so blessed. Let us, my brothers and sisters, be grateful. Amen.